Hello and thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode of What Page Are You On? This is a special little mini episode where I'm not joined by my good friend and business partner Alice Slater. I'm joined with the excellent author Oyin Braithwaite, who you may remember we talked about in an episode called Girls in Cahoots, where we talked about My Sister the Serial Killer, which is her novel, which has just come out. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely no problem. I'm delighted. Can you start by telling me a little bit about the evolution of the book, like when you started writing it and the road to publication?
Oof, okay. So I started writing it, I think, August 2017. So in terms of the evolution of the book, it's this idea of a woman killing men isn't new to me. And in my writing, I've played with it in you know, one or two previous stories. So I think when I got into this book, it was a fairly smooth writing process because I was comfortable with the idea, and I mostly then had to focus on the relationship between the sisters because that was what was new to me. So I suppose maybe that's what the book mostly focuses on. So I was done with the first draft. It was initially a novella, so I was done with the first draft by the beginning of September, end of August, and I eventually, you know, I was getting, because I put it on a platform in Nigeria called Okada Books, and I was getting some positive feedback, so I thought, okay, maybe. And I had a friend who's sorry, I don't know if I'm rambling, but
no, I'm nerdishly interested in this thing.
Okay. So I had a friend who's a writer and an editor, and she read it and she said, Oyin, this is the best thing you've ever written. And initially I was a bit offended because I thought, no, it's not. But when I started getting some positive feedback, I went back to it and I thought, do you know what, maybe this isn't as pedestrian as I thought it was, and I decided to send it to Aitken Alexander.
My agents. For the avoidance of doubt for people listening at home.
So they're my agents, but at the time they weren't. But we had had a conversation a year previously, so I sent them this, mostly because I didn't want them to forget about me, because we hadn't had a conversation in a year. And I sent them the book and I told her, look, because it was a novella, and at the time I was like, look, I know they don't publish novellas for first time authors, or, you know, it's not a common thing. So I wasn't expecting that. I told her, you know, hey, I just wrote this thing, I'm working on a novel, just, you know, don't forget about me. And she responds, you know, telling me when she reads it, she'll let me know. And she read it and she said she wanted to call me, and I just lost my mind. Like, my sister and I, we were going crazy. My sister's like, why does she want to call you? And I'm like, I don't know why she wants to call me. And she's like, could it be about this book? I'm like, it couldn't possibly be about this novella. Like, I was going a bit mad. So, you know, I talked to her and she basically tells me, look, go back, work on it, make it, turn it into a novel, gave me some advice to, you know, parts that I needed to develop. So I went away, did some more work on it. I think by the end of, in October, no, by the end of September, she had signed me on. By October, Atlantic had picked it up. So it went
very quickly.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
It was really quite incredible. When I got the email about Atlantic, I was shaking.
So is the UK the first place that it's been published?
No, it was published first in the Netherlands, and then it was published in the US, but it was Atlantic that picked it up first. So it was the UK that picked it up first, but they weren't the first to publish.
Cool, but they got the ball rolling.
Yeah, so they're actually the fourth, because it's been Netherlands, US, Nigeria, then Atlantic, yeah. But they picked it up really quickly, and yeah, so from then it was kind of smooth sailing. The toughest thing was having to wait so long for it to come out. Yeah.
It's been a long old time. I remember my co-host Alice and I talked about it in, our books to look forward to in 2018. Yeah. Like, we ended up talking about it 2 years in a row because we thought it was going to come out last year. Because, it feels like it's been around for a while, and I'm sure it felt even longer for you.
It did.
So where did the character of Ayula come from?
I watch a lot of anime, and they usually have all these kind of weird characters. It's anime that sort of gave me the confidence to know that I could pull off a character like Ayula, because they have really quirky characters. You've got a lot of young girls that do very violent things, or women doing very violent things. So I thought, okay, but I also wanted her to be childlike. Which is, again, something that I've seen done in some ways in anime. So for me, the challenge was, okay, I want to keep her lovable, but I also, you know, but these things that I've been seeing done in anime, they're also, it's been very kind of true to that culture. Can I pull off that kind of thing in a Nigerian setting and with a Nigerian character? I wasn't sure, but I was willing to try it, and I really did enjoy, like, every time she was about to say something, I had so much fun, because the things that come out of Viola's mouth, you know. So she was definitely a fun character. I didn't develop her, I don't think I did as much work on her as I did on Koride, her older sister. Ayala, for me, I treated her a little bit like a two-dimensional character.
Yeah, because Koride is a much more, like, complex, spiky person. For all that she isn't, like, a murderer, she's weirdly more complex.
Yeah, so, and because also we're not seeing any of Ayala's inner thoughts, which I think gave me, which is probably why I could pull her off. She may have been less believable if she was thinking, if we could see her thoughts, I don't know.
Yeah, if we knew what was motivating her, then it would be much more challenging to write, I guess.
So she's almost as much a mystery to Koride as she is to us, and that worked for me.
Cool. How would you kind of characterize it genre-wise? What do you think it is?
Writing it, I didn't think it was anything. Now I kind of call it noir. Like, when I'm pushed, I'm like, okay, I think it's noir. But mostly because I don't know where else to put it. Yeah.
Cool. Because we had this conversation about, like, is it a thriller? And Alice was like, yes, it's a thriller. And I was like, it's kind of like satire. And it's a lot of things. It's really unusual. Something else I was kind of thinking about is that it has a very kind of light and pacey style and very short chapters. Is that specific to how you want to tell this story, or is that just how you write?
I think it's mostly how I wanted to tell this story, because I knew I didn't want it to be too dark. So, funny enough, I didn't think I was writing humor, but I knew that Koride had a very matter-of-fact tone, and she was going to address some things that should horrify, and Ayola as well, going to address some things that should horrify a normal person in a very matter-of-fact way, and they were going to just get on with their day. And that's something I definitely, you know, wanted. I didn't want it to be a boohoo, like, I'm crying kind of, like, oh my gosh, why is this happening to me? I just wanted them to do things and get on with their day and get on with their business. So I think that's why it ended up being funny. It was actually not my intention, but I think that's why, because people were like, wait, how can they just do this and then just be like, okay, well,
approach it in such a, like, matter of fact way, like, this is what you need to do, this is, like, how you need to clean blood out of stuff. And was there a part of the book that you really enjoyed writing? What was, like, your favorite bit that you wrote?
Gosh, what was my favorite bit? I mean, I liked any time that I kind of spoke, I got excited. I don't even know what my favorite part was. Maybe the scene when, towards the end, when Koride is talking to the policeman. That kind of, because she came into her own.
Yeah, she really, and, like, asserts herself. Yeah,
and she completely messes with them. And, like, she's, you know, she's lying through her teeth and doing it with such confidence. And, you know, she's acting, she's full on, you know, she's fully embraced her role. And for me, having gone through that journey with her and, you know, coming up with the lines in that scene and knowing that, okay, now this girl has gone past the point. Because I think up until, like, I've seen some readers say, oh, you know, up until then or up until around then, they were rooting for her, and that's the point where they stop, or around that scene is where they stop. And I think, yeah, there's something about that point where you now realize, okay, maybe she's now past the point of redemption, and it was a really challenging scene to do, but it was really fun as well.
And the way that she's, like, calculated, even going in there, like, what she's wearing to kind of assert herself as socially superior to the police officers, it's, like, it's not something she's kind of been dragged into on the spur of the moment. Yeah. She's really, like, planned it. So as I said, we have been very hyped about this since 2017, which is when I think we first saw the cover. That's been around for a while.
It might have been early 2008.
Yeah, maybe. It's been like, it feels like the cover has been around for a while, and that's what really, like, drew us in. Can you tell us about the development of the cover? Is that the cover that's being used everywhere? Because we think it is so perfect.
Yeah, so that came from Doubleday. Michael, I don't remember his name right now, was the designed the cover. And he... so when... Initially, when I first saw the cover, we hadn't... You know, I was a little bit... Not a fan. I wasn't immediately a fan, because I don't generally pick up books on the shelves that have people's faces on them, just because that messes with. Because I start to think that's what the character looks like.
Yeah.
And I don't like for you to mess with how I imagine what the character looks like. So I was thinking of it more as a reader, where I was like, oh, but I wouldn't necessarily pick up, you know, a book that had a face on it, but they kind of, like, everybody was going on about how, you know, how much they loved it.
Yeah.
And eventually I was like, okay, do you know what, fair enough, let's fine, let's go with it. And it started to then we changed, so it was Claire, my agent, and I, we were just like, okay, let's make the font a little bit more playful. So he did that.
And the kind of acid green.
Yeah. No, the green was already... He had already done the green, but the font was more, I guess, stiffer. It was,
yeah.
Yeah. So he made it more playful. So at that point, I was like, okay, do you know what? And it really did grow on me. So the US did it. Then the UK guys were like, look, we love it. Atlantic was like, we love it. So they used it. But Netherlands used... it, but they changed the color scheme and the font style. So there's this pink. The Nigerians used a completely different cover, and I haven't seen the other translations yet.
What's the Nigerian cover like?
Well, it was fun because they allowed me to illustrate, so that was nice. So it's like an illustration of the two sisters, and then a sort of weird illustration of the family. So the two sisters, the mother and the dad, but they're faceless. So yeah, that was cool, but and it's sort of like a burgundy and gold cover, but it's very different. I think they wanted people to, I imagine, they didn't say this, but I think they wanted a different cover so that Nigerians would patronize it for the fact that it was Nigerian.
Yeah.
They had the same cover, they might just buy whichever one came out first, and then the Nigerian market might not benefit from that. So
I think that was a smart move.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend to people who liked this? Did you kind of feel like you were writing in a particular literary lineage, or does it feel like something that you haven't read and is kind of new to you?
I can't, off the top of my head, I can't say that I've read, sounds so cocky, but I don't know, I can't think of a book that I'm like, okay, this is, you know, in a similar vein. But like when people say, what would I recommend? I would recommend Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, because in terms of like character, the character is really quirky. She has a weird sort of outlook on life and on the world.
And motivation. Things motivate her that don't motivate other people.
Yeah, and she really thinks that she's the normal one in the setting, where she's not, she's the abnormal one. Reading it, you laugh because she's just, you know, her opinions and her views are somewhat ridiculous. So I see some similarities. And obviously, also she has a background of having a parent who was very abusive.
Yeah.
So I do see some similarities between her and Korede. I mean, I read it after the book had been picked up, but yeah, but if I had to suggest a book, Ellen Oliphant would be the book.
Cool. That's such a like interesting choice. What is next for you? Will you like write a sequel, or are you finished with the sisters?
For now, I'm finished with them. I don't immediately see a sequel in my future. You know, I'd like to completely go off. I'd like to go off in a different direction. Yeah, so I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm always kind of jumping from idea to idea, but right now the one that's I'm kind of working on, hopefully I'll stick with it, is a dystopian novel. But I don't know how that's gonna go. So
all you can do is find out.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is try. So from what I read in your biography in the back of the book, you have a day job. Well, you did have a day job.
I did a long time. Wait, which it depends on which one you're telling. Which, because okay, so before the book, I was working as a freelancer. So I was working for myself as a freelance author and as a graphic designer. So yeah, but I think most people kind of think I was working from a publishing house just before this, but that was actually ages ago. I don't know. I should remove that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, so that was gonna be a like, while.
Oh, how did you kind of write a book while you had a day job and all of that?
I was working for myself, so I had clients, but like, I had my own time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could manage that.
Yeah.
That's good. Like, that's a dream.
Yes.
And what are you reading right now?
Ooh.
Or what are you excited to read next?
Well, I just bought Power by Naomi Alderman.
Yes.
I'm really excited to get into that.
Especially if you want to write a kind of dystopian thing. That's a good one.
I'm really excited to get into that. I just finished, I think it was called Sleeping Beauties, right? By Stephen and King and Owen King.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. Sleeping something. I think it's Sleeping Beauties. That was really hectic. It's funny because that's also a dystopian feminist book. And it was interesting reading a dystopian feminist book written by two men.
Yeah, not one, but two men.
Yeah. It was interesting, and just the book kind of is definitely a book worth reading. I need to find someone else who's read that book. I need to discuss that book with someone. Because at the end, I kind of felt like, okay, but I wasn't sure what my takeaway was supposed to be. But it was definitely like, my heart was in my mouth in like several places. It was definitely an engaging read. They may have been thinking about a movie because it might be a really interesting movie, but I wasn't entirely sure what my takeaway was meant to be. So well, I'd love to talk with
listeners, if you have read this book that may or may not be called Sleeping Beauty, it's definitely by Stephen and Owen King. You should tweet, Owen.
Yes, please reach out. Let's talk about how it ended.
And how can we find you on the internet?
Okay, so I'm mostly on Instagram at Oyin Braithwaite. I'm also on Twitter at Oyin Braithwaite, but Twitter scares me, so you're more likely to find me on Instagram.
So comment on an Instagram post yes. about this book. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it has
you.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
So as we have repeatedly said, My Sister the Serial Killer is published by Atlantic Books and is buyable in all good bookshops right now. We would strongly recommend it, and please join us next time. Thanks very much. Bye.